Luke chapter 2 this morning for the reading of God's Word. Luke chapter 2. New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and then Luke chapter 2. If you found the Luke chapter 2, if you'll please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. We'll be reading the first five verses, verses 1 through 5. I'll read the odd verses, 1, 3, and 5. If you'll read along with me, verses 2 and 4 and Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for your reading the Word this morning. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house. Thank you for what we've heard already. Lord, I pray you bless the special as it prepares our heart for the message this morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity of being here. Just, Lord, I pray that you would separate any distractions this morning so we can listen attentively to your Word and to the speaker this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
Darkness out, though it may seem unbelievable, God can walk. Wonderful song. Thank you, folks. I appreciate that wonderful music today. It's so good for us. Love the songs of Christmas. Enjoy them. And thank you so much for that. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 for the next three Sundays after today. That's going to become a little bit like Ezra was at the beginning of, or sometime earlier this year. I hope by the time we get done, we should probably be able to quote the first several verses of this chapter. But I'm going to speak for, I don't have to speak on Christmas, and I don't always feel pressured to, but in pondering and meditating and asking the Spirit of God's direction for the next month or so, I just kept my mind meditating on this passage of Scripture, and I have some messages that I'd like to bring to you on the subject of Christmas. And so we'll be in Luke 2, verses 1 through 5 this morning, and I want to speak on the subject of the decree. The decree. You'll see it in verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. So I want to talk about the decree this morning. Let's pray together. Father, the music that we just heard was such a blessing. And it did my soul so good to hear it and to be blessed by it. And really helped me, I believe, get ready for the message. And I trust that happened all over this room. As Lord, we need to remove from our mind for the next several minutes the distractions that are all around us in this world. And maybe concentrate on you and your Spirit and your Word and the work that you want to accomplish in our hearts this morning. Because this is not an obligation being met. This is an opportunity to sit at the feet, Lord, of your Word and let you feed us and help us. Be with me this morning. Control my thoughts, my tongue, my lips, my speech. And Lord, give us all ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us. In Jesus' name. And amen. Many Christians were sorely disappointed that Obama was reelected president to serve a second term. I think toward the end of the campaign, there was real hope that for, you know, the last few days or so that Romney would garner enough votes to win the presidency, but that was not to be, and so forth. So anyway, we know that's past history now. I want to say this today, though. Disappointment for the child of God about the election results should be short-lived. I hope you haven't been walking around in despair, friend. Because we know, according to the book of Daniel several times, quote, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever He will. And in case you are wondering or need any clarification as to who the Most High is, in Psalm 83 and verse 18, the psalmist said this, that men may know that Thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. The psalmist wanted there to be no doubt who he was speaking of, so he used the name Jehovah. And he said, Jehovah God is the Most High, and He rules in the kingdom of men. The truth of the matter is, friend, that name is proof positive that not only did the Most High rule, but He still rules, because Jehovah means unchanging. Jehovah is that self-existent, eternal one. I love saying it this way. God was in eternity past what He is now and what He will be in eternity future. God is now what He was in eternity past and what He will be in eternity future. And God will be in eternity future what He was in eternity past and what He is right now. You kind of get the idea that He is the same. He's unchanging. And so there are no surprises with God, who He is, what He does, how He performs. He is the same. And because of that, if He ever ruled in the kingdom of men, and He did, He still rules in the kingdom of men, and He does, because He is unchanging. He is Jehovah, the eternal one. Now, in fact, the fact of the matter is that God ruled in the kingdom of men during the days before the birth of Christ. And we see this in the decree that was issued by Caesar Augustus in verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus. Now, I only have 2 points of the message this morning, but don't get your hopes up. They're long points. Amen. All right. And no, they're really not. It's not that long. But I only have 2 points. I want to talk about, first of all, this morning, the decree from the earthly perspective. The decree from the earthly perspective. This is fun to me. Caesar Augustus was the ruling Roman emperor at the time of Christ's birth. Now, you remember that Rome was the world power at that time, and Julius Caesar was the man who became, in essence, a dictator and ruled over Rome before the days of Christ's birth. Now, Caesar Augustus was one of his family, okay? In fact, those in his family who succeeded him as Roman emperor kept his name as a part of their title. So you got Caesar Augustus. You had Caesar Tiberius. You had Caesar Claudius. And all of these were members, if you will, of Julius Caesar's family, okay? Sons, grandsons, great-grandsons, and so forth. Now, as world power, Rome controlled every country, the known world at that time. And Caesar Augustus issued a decree that touched the whole world. And this decree involved taxes. Now, it's ironic to me that here we are 2,000 years later, and all of our eyes are on Washington, D.C., as the Democrats and the Republicans and Obama and the independents and everybody else battles it out over taxes. Huh? 2,000 years later. Now, this decree was all about taxes. You'll find the word used four times in these five verses. It's used in verse number 1. It's used in verse number 2. It's used in verse number 3. And it's used in verse number 5. So four times in five verses, the word tax or taxes, taxed, is used. Now here's what happened. The head of the family had to return to the place of his family lineage, the birthplace of his family, okay? They had to register there and be taxed. Now this is the days before there's no phones, there's no faxes. There's no internet, there's no email, there's not even U.S. Postal Service snail mail, all right? And none of this stuff, none of this stuff's in existence, okay? So this means that families had to travel to their family's homeland, their family's birthplace, and register and pay their taxes. And since Joseph, Mary's fiancé, her espoused husband, future husband, was of the lineage of David, and David was from Bethlehem, Joseph had to travel to Bethlehem to register and to pay his tax. And all over the known world, people began to travel to their respective homes to pay their tax. Now, friend, taxes are a pain and a burden right now. I mean, they're a pain and a burden right now. And they want to tax everything. Everything. Tax. Every time I drive to Elgin, I pay tax. Every time you go up to one of these toll roads, you're paying tax. Something that we were promised would be done in just a few years. And now one toll, if you don't have the iPass, is almost $2. It's amazing. It's just tax. Taxes are a burden now, but think of how much trouble it was to people living in this day, the Bible day, to travel to their home place and register and pay this tax. Now, yeah, I know it's not, they didn't live as far away from home as some of us do in this day and age, but still, this was a burden. And from an earthly perspective, this looked like more hassle, more excessive tax burden, more encroachment by a greedy government. From an earthly perspective, and I'm going somewhere with all this today, from an earthly perspective, this all seemed to be about taxes. Just taxes. From an earthly perspective. Oh my goodness, we got to go down to Bethlehem. Oh my goodness, we got to go to so-and-so. Oh my goodness, we got to go to so-and-so. Oh my goodness, we got to go to here. And it was all seemed to be about taxes. That's the decree from the earthly perspective. Now let me talk to you secondly this morning and longer about the decree from the heavenly perspective. Because here's what it got, folks. Even though in these five verses the name of God is not mentioned, the hand of God is all over these verses. And God's fingerprints are found all over this decree that came from Caesar Augustus and his office. Now, let me tell you, friend, God's fingerprints are still all over world events. if He's unchanging? And His fingerprints were all over this event? Then His fingerprints are all over world events today. And they are. They really are. I'm not suggesting that God rules in every little edict issued by some political leader, but you can rest assured, friend, that many of the political movements involving rulers, pronouncements, kings, presidents, prime ministers, monarchs, all of those things are covered by the hand of Almighty God. You can rest assured of that. Now, I want you to hold that thought right there, because we're coming back to that in a little bit. All that we read about, all that we hear about, when it comes to presidents and prime ministers and kings and monarchs and so forth, all the edicts, all the treaties, everything that they're doing in the world, it all has the fingerprints of God all over it. All over it. The truth is that God used old Caesar to put the world in motion so that Jesus Christ would be born in the exact place He was supposed to be born. And that's the reason for the decree. This decree had more to do with than with just taxes. The truth is, it had everything to do with truth. Specifically, the truth of God's Word. And even more specifically, the truth of God's Word. Now, don't miss this. Concerning the coming of His Son to the earth. That's exactly what this decree had to do with. More than just taxes. From an earthly perspective, it looked like taxes, taxes, more taxes. We're already taxed to the hilt, and now we got to go register and pay a new tax. But it was far more than that from the heavenly perspective. It was about the truth of God's Word concerning the coming of Jesus to this earth. You see, the Old Testament prophets had been used of God to prophetically explain where Jesus would be born. Now, you got a Bible this morning. I want you to use it, okay? We're not going to be coming back, I don't think, to Luke chapter 2. So go back to the Old Testament book of Micah. Now, you know what I would suggest if you are getting familiar with your Bible? I would suggest to use the index. You can go on a hunt for the book of Micah, and you'll be a long time looking for it, okay? In fact, if you've been saved for 30 years, you might still want to use the index, all right? But look at Micah. Micah's an Old Testament prophet. I'll give you a minute to find it. Look at Micah chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading here in verse number 2. I'll give you just a second to find it. I want you to see this with your eyes, okay? And I'm going somewhere with all of this at the end of the message. It'll take me a little time to get there, so just hang with me, all right? We'll be there in just a short while. In Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. Now, Micah's a prophet. He's living about the time of the prophet Isaiah, okay? And he says in verse number 2, did you find it? Look at it. It says this, "But thou, Bethlehem." Do you see that? Bethlehem. Ephratah. Now, did you ever wonder what that little word Ephratah was all about? I'm not going to tell you yet. Hang on, okay? We'll get there. "But thou, Bethlehem." Have we all heard of Bethlehem? We all know what Bethlehem is. "Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Here was a prophecy by an Old Testament prophet speaking on behalf of God, who said that the Christ child, the Son of God, the Messiah that was coming to this earth, was going to be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah. A prophecy. Now look, friend, this prophecy was made almost 700 years before Christ was born. Now stop for just a minute. Do you know how much can happen? Brother Joe, we need to find a seat for this man. Okay? Thank you very much, sir. Very good. People get to watching around and everything. Do you know how much can happen in 700 years? To change, that changes everything. Think about it. Think about what can happen in 700 years. And yet here is a prophet speaking on behalf of God who said 700 years before the actual event that Jesus Christ, wait a minute, is not just coming to this earth, but He is coming to this earth in the place known as Bethlehem Ephratah. He gave the exact location. The exact location of the birth of the Messiah. The exact location of the birth of Jesus Christ. And yet, you know, after 700 years, Jesus was born in Bethlehem just as God said. Now, do you realize, friend, that Joseph and Mary, 700 years after this prophecy was made, 700 years plus, do you understand, friend, that Joseph and Mary were living in Nazareth? And Nazareth is 70 miles from Jerusalem. And we don't think much about getting in a car and traveling 70 miles up to Chicago or beyond, or 70 miles up to some other place or down there. We don't think much about that today because we've got all these paved roads and modes of transportation that make it fairly easy and comfortable and enjoyable. But we're not talking about paved roads here. We're not talking about six-cylinder, four-cylinder, two-cylinder engines. We're not talking about tires. We're talking about travel by foot or by donkey, camel. 70 miles, Joseph and Mary were living in Nazareth, 70 miles north of Jerusalem. It was time for Jesus to be born. And his mother, carrying him in her womb, was 70 miles geographically from the place that God had said he was going to be born. No problem for God. I got an old Caesar down there. Caesar thinks he's big stuff. And Caesar loves money. He's greedy, full of avarice. I'll just use that old Caesar. Caesar, give out a decree. Give out a decree, Caesar. Give out a decree that says all the folks need to return to the place of their birth, their family's birthplace, their family lineage, and register and pay their taxes. And Caesar wakes up one morning and he calls his aides and he says, I've had a wonderful idea. He said, write this down and bring me my ring and some melted wax so I can make this a law. I just was thinking through the night and I thought of a great way to get some more money into the Roman coffers. Let's have all the folks return to the place of their family birthplace and register there and pay their taxes. And you know what? We'll take in dollars and dollars and dollars of money. And all the aides said, what a wonderful idea, oh King Caesar. Oh, that's wonderful. And they wrote it all up and they melted the wax on the paper and the king sealed it with the signet of his ring and put it on there. And Caesar thought, man, what a great thing it is that I have done. Caesar, all you've done is the bidding of God Almighty. That's all you've done. And this has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with truth. It has everything to do with God's Word. And so God moves on a king's heart through a decree. A selfish, greedy edict of avarice, if you will, was what it looked like to the world. But it was all about the truth of God's Word. Because God had said, my son will come to Bethlehem, Ephratah. And friend, let God be true and every man a liar. And so here came this edict down, this decree down from this Roman emperor, Caesar Augustus. And here's Joseph in the city of Nazareth. And he says, ah, oi. You know what the Jews say? Oi. Oi. We've got to return to Bethlehem. Okay, there it is. But look at me. I can't go anywhere. I mean, ladies, come on. You know, Hannah just had a baby. Some folks, Elizabeth just had. You know, when you get ready, when you get close to have a baby, you don't go anywhere long. You're not going any long distance. Stay close to the 70, honey, 70 miles to Bethlehem. Honey, we got to go. I'm not going to leave you here. You've heard about guys getting home too late for the delivery? Huh? Yeah. If something happened to you, well, what are we going to do? We're going to have to go. And this man and his wife-to-be, had to load up and pack up their belongings, and she's great with child, the Bible says. And they make that, this, they have to make that journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. You say, well, my goodness, didn't God put them out? Oh, I'll tell you something, friend. It's not a matter of God putting anybody out. It's a matter of God keeping His Word. His Word's going to be kept. And by the way, this is not the only prophecy that we're dealing with. You got your Bible? Let's go back. Hey, tell you what. Let's go back 1,000 years before Micah. Let's go back to Genesis 49. Go back to this is not the intention of this morning, but one of the things you'll find out is about your Bible. It's a wonderful book. Amen. Look at Genesis chapter 49 and look at verse number 10. Now we're almost 1,700 years before the birth of Christ. 1,000 years before Micah lived. So God says, you know, and 700 years before a son comes, he said, my son's going to be born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. But before that, 1,000 years before that, chapter 49 and verse number 10, I don't have time this morning to go into all the background of this chapter. But Jacob is giving dying blessings to his boys. One of his sons is named Judah, and he says in verse number 10, the scepter. Now hold it. The scepter, that's a king's instrument. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now look, God said that Jesus would come from the tribe of Judah. You know there were 12 tribes in Israel. 12 sons of Jacob. 12 tribes in Israel. 1,700 years before his son comes, God said, my son will come from the tribe of Judah. Now watch this. Nazareth was located in the area of Israel that belonged to the tribe of Zebulun. That's where Nazareth was. 70 miles north of Bethlehem. And there was a town just a few miles from Nazareth in Zebulun that had been known as Bethlehem. You can read about it in the book of Joshua or Judges. A town just a few miles away from Nazareth, but it was in the area of Israel that was occupied or given to the tribe of Zebulun. And God said that his son would come from the tribe of Judah. And so 1,000 years after this prophecy, God has Micah say, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah. Ephratah is an old word for Judah. So God said, but thou, Bethlehem Judah. Not the Bethlehem that's in Zebulun. The Bethlehem that's in Judah. Not the Bethlehem that's a few miles away. The Bethlehem that's 70 miles away. That's where my son is going to be born. Because 1,700 years ago, I said he would come from the tribe of Judah. I've had an idea. I've got an idea on how to raise money for the Roman government. Aren't I brilliant? You're a pawn. You ever played chess? The pawns are the what? The weakest bunch, weakest one on the board? You're a pawn, Mr. Caesar. Because the real ruler reigns from above. The real ruler sits on high. I'm just trying to tell you this morning, folks, that look, this decree that came from Caesar Augustus, no, wait, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not there yet, okay? But I'm getting closer. I can't wait till I get there, but I'm getting closer. This decree that came from Caesar Augustus, it looked like to the people living in that day, frustration and aggravation and travel to Bethlehem, 70 miles away, the time that my wife is going to have a baby. What is, that crazy Caesar. It was far more than that. I don't have time to go back to 2 Samuel 7, 1 Chronicles 17. God promised David that one of his descendants would reign on the throne of Israel forever and ever. And Jesus had to be born in the city of David. And the city of David was Bethlehem. He could not be born in Nazareth. He could not be born in Bethlehem, Zebulun. He had to be born in Bethlehem, Judah. He had to be born there. And the decree was God ruling in the kingdom of men so that the truth of His Word would be fulfilled. That's what this is all about. In Luke chapter 2, verse number 1, when you read that where it says there came out a decree from Caesar Augustus, if you'd like to mark your Bible, circle that right in the margin. God ruling in the kingdom of men. Because that's exactly what that is. Now, wait a minute. God's Word not only mentions one coming of Christ to earth. His word also talks about a second coming. And if God used the decrees of men to fulfill His word about His Son's first coming, you reckon He could still use the decrees of men to fulfill His word about His Son's second coming? I am sure, proof positive, that He can. And God will use the decrees of men to fulfill His word about Jesus' second coming. When we read in Luke 2:1, and it came to pass in those days, God had a specific time and place for His Son to come to the earth. And for approximately 2,000 years, that time had counted down. Year, 1,950 years. And now it's 1,900 years away. And now it's 1,400 years away. And now it's 700 years away. And now it's 50 years away. And now it's 10 years away. And now it's 10 weeks away. And now it's 10, 9, 8. Hey, Caesar, wake up, wake up, wake up. You need to issue a decree. At the exact time. The specific time. God moved on old Caesar Augustus to get His Son exactly where He's supposed to be born according to the truth of God's Word. Exactly. And I want to tell you something, friend. I don't know the time, and you don't know the time of the coming of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth. We know that before that second coming, there's got to be a 7-year tribulation period. We know that at the start of that 7-year tribulation period, there is a rapture. And we know that the world has to be ripe for a person called the Antichrist to step on the stage and offer the solution of peace to a world filled with turmoil. You don't think for a minute that all of this stuff is just happening. Everything's just going through life, just accidentally crashing along in chaotic fashion. Obama's reelected. Putin's back in power in Russia. Aminajad's got a nuclear weapon. Oh my goodness, Assad's killing everybody. All this stuff. Oh, this thing's not just not happening in chaos. God's ruling over the whole thing. He's ruling over the whole thing. He rules from His throne in heaven. You friend, in days and maybe years to come, we will see and hear decrees and laws and edicts that are made by men, earthly men. Now wait a minute. Some of those edicts, some of those decrees will dismay us. Sure they will. If they take all the guns from American citizens, I'm not going to rejoice in that. They will dismay us. They will discourage us. They will depress us. They will disappoint us. If we only see them from the earthly perspective. But if we will see these things from a heavenly perspective, then if we will see it's not about taxes and other earthly burdens. The decree is about truth and heavenly blessings because Jesus is getting ready to come to this earth. Friend, when you see things come down the pike that you don't like and dismay us like an election result that most of us were disappointed in, we have to look beyond Obama. You got to look beyond Biden. You got to look beyond Boehner. You got to look beyond Hillary. You got to look beyond Vladimir Putin. You got to look beyond Cameron Brown over in England. You got to look beyond Assad. You got to look beyond Ahmadinejad. You got to look beyond Benjamin Netanyahu. You got to look beyond all these world rulers and realize there is one who rules over all. And you know what? I don't like all that's happening, but at the same time, bring it on! And I'm not foolish. We may have some tough times. Our kids may have some tough times. And if we only look at the tough times, yeah, we're going to walk around with a long face. But if we'll see beyond the tough times, to Jehovah, the great God who sits on the throne of all the earth, rules in the affairs of men, we'll just see that God is moving all the pieces in place because He told us His Son was coming. He told us His Son is coming a second time. Here it is, friend. God has promised. God has prophesied. God has spoken. You say, I don't see, Pastor, how it could all come together. It will. It will. Hey, it may not be fun to watch it all come together if you only have your eyes on watching it all come together from this perspective. But if you'll look beyond that, look this way, you'll get excited as you see the Lord preparing things. Man denies God. Man disobeys God. Man despises God. And man tries to shove God out of everything. And God just rules and rules and rules. And He uses the devices of God-hating men to accomplish His plan. Last night I took my wife up to Rockefeller Memorial Chapel, downtown Chicago. It's on the campus of the University of Chicago for a performance of the Messiah. It's beautiful. You ought to go to it. It's affordable. It's easy access, easy parking, in and out. We're home in less than an hour, up there in less than an hour, home in less than an hour. Beautiful. Beautiful. We sat in that pew, and it's hard for an independent Baptist to sit through the Messiah without raising my hand and shouting. But I caught myself smiling. That's kind of a weird. I wondered at one point, I wonder what people think. And I just caught myself smiling. Because here we are on the campus of the University of Chicago. One of the most, a bastion of liberalism and modernism and humanism. Don't even believe in God. We walked around. We got there early. We walked around and we saw a Muslim prayer room, a Hindu prayer room. It's an all faith type thing, you know, all this junk. And here was this 100 voice choir, whatever, and these musicians, and they're singing quotes from the Bible. And they're singing, glory and blessing and honor and power be unto God. Oh, I wondered to myself how many of these folks, poor folks, are lost and not a part of the family of God and don't even believe in His existence. And here they are standing on a platform singing His praises and lifting Him up and having His name exalted high and all those wonderful songs. And down to that hallelujah chorus when everybody stood and He shall reign forever. The kingdoms of this earth shall become the kingdoms of our God. And I thought, how real is that? I had a revival in my heart there. Man. And it wasn't just because of the music. It was pretty. It was the truth of God's Word. The truth of Scripture. And think about it, friend. Think about all over most of the world. In cities large and small. How many voices will lift up in song this season. And hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I don't even know what they're saying. We do. We got it figured out. Not because we're anything special, but we're on God's side. God lives in our hearts in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, friend. I'm not being a fool this morning. I'm not being insane. I guess some would debate that, and that's okay. I don't enjoy everything I see coming out of governments on this earth. What Assad did over in Syria is despicable. But I'm telling you something, friend. He's not who he thinks he is. And Putin is not who he thinks he is. And Obama's not who he thinks he is. And Cameron Brown's not who he thinks he is. And Ahmadinejad and Netanyahu are not who they think they are. There is a God in heaven who rules supreme over this whole thing. And his son will reign on this earth. And the kingdoms of this earth will become the kingdoms of our God. And that is going to happen. And God is putting everything in place to usher that whole thing in. Servant, bring me a piece of paper. I got an idea. We need some money. Let's have another tax. Another tax. city of our birth. But Christian, we have to look beyond all that to see that he's a ruler. I'll tell you one thing. I'm glad I'm on his side at the end of this thing. Because his side is the winning side. Absolutely. Don't be fretted. Did you catch what Brother Flanders said last week? The difference in prayer and worry is who you're talking to. It was worth having him here to hear that one sentence. Stinking Clinton, stinking Boehner, stinking Obama, stinking, the whole world stinking. Yeah, I know. The whole world's just moving in God's hand. I'm glad I'm on his side, aren't you? Hallelujah, the decree. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for your word, which is so wonderful. Thank you for its veracity. Oh, Lord, we know that every prophecy about the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem was fulfilled to the T. And we know that every prophecy about the second coming of Christ will be fulfilled to the T, exactly what your word says. And thank you for the encouragement we get from your word this morning as your people. Now, Lord, help us to translate this into something that can help us now. Help us not to worry. Help us not, Lord, to be disappointed for long. We're human. We'll have seasons and times of distress and dismay and disappointment. But, oh God, give us faith to look beyond D.C. and beyond London and beyond Jerusalem and beyond Moscow. And God, see you ruling over the whole earth. May it ever be so. And thank you for the prospect one day of the coming of your Son, Jesus, back to this earth again.